Good morning. This is Commissioner Dennis Frazier with my Commissioner's Report. This week, I'd like to talk a little bit about the legislation that has been proposed, some of it by myself and some of it with the unanimous consent of the Board of Commissioners. The first legislation I'd like to talk about is enabling legislation. It has to do with plastic bags, one-use plastic bags in Carroll County. I personally am against one-use plastic bags, but that's actually not what the legislation was for. The legislation was enabling legislation, which says Carroll County has a right to decide whether they want to have one-use plastic bags or not. That's all it is. Giving Commissioners Weaver, Commissioners Wance, Commissioner Rothstein, Commissioner Boucher, and myself the right to decide whether we want to have one-use plastic bags in Carroll County or not. That's what enabling legislation is, and that's what it does. It doesn't have anything to do with the actual plastic bags themselves. So when we brought this up, or actually when I brought this up to our state delegation at our meeting, one of the comments was, well, I don't want to have anything to do with limiting the use of plastic bags or telling people what to do with plastic bags. The legislation is enabling legislation. It doesn't do that. What it does, as I said again, it gives local elected officials, the Board of Commissioners, the right to decide what is the best for Carroll County. Because after all, I believe that's what we were elected for. However, the state delegation decided not to move forward with this enabling legislation, and that is entirely their choice. I don't understand it, but it's their choice. But if you want to get back to the plastic bags themselves, I don't know how anyone can watch the segments that have been on 60 Minutes the last month or so. They have a couple segments that I've had on there about plastic in the ocean and our waterways and so forth. If you watch and you see the amount of plastic that's out there and the amount of plastic that is being eaten by marine animals and birds and everything else, how you cannot want to do more to try to get rid of that problem. And again, this was just enabling legislation. So if we had the right to do this, would the Board of Commissioners actually outlaw or prohibit plastic bags in Carroll County? That's a whole nother topic, a whole nother step. Honestly, I don't think that would have happened. But if this current Board of Commissioners decided not to move forward this, maybe the next one or the next one after that might decide to. It just gives them the right to. And again, but as looking at the plastic bags that are out there, I just can't see how people would want to continue with that. And if you look from the business perspective, I don't know how many of our listeners go to Aldi's or BJ's, neither one of which has plastic bags or actually any type of bags at either place. And they're not hurting for customers. Every time I go in those stores, they're crowded. There's plenty of people there. And at Aldi's, what normally happens, they have a big shelf by the windows. People, you know, buy their groceries, they go to the shelf, and they have their own bags, and they put the groceries in those bags. They're usually cloth bags, and then they take them out. At BJ's, you put them in your cart, you take them out to your car, they have boxes and stuff. So both places, which are very well used, do not have any bags at all, much less plastic, and they're not hurting. And they're in the middle of other similar retailers that have the same products or similar products that offer plastic bags. So I don't see how that would be a deterrent for using them. But again, just my opinion, and remember, the state delegation did not decide to take up this enabling legislation for Carroll County. Other legislation, which I tried to push forward, was legislation about the opioid epidemic. Now, this legislation was talked about by the Board of Commissioners, and the Board of Commissioners decided that they would back this legislation after I took the legislation to the Senior Opioid Policy Group and see what they had to say about it. And if they were for it, then the Board of Commissioners were for it. So I took this additional legislation to the Senior Opioid Policy Group. I explained to them what it was. I had four pieces of legislation. They agreed with three of them, so the fourth one was scratched, took it out, don't need to even talk about it. And we took that legislation before the state delegation. Now, the Board of Commissioners, the Senior Policy Opioid Group have both agreed that these were worthwhile pieces of legislation and should possibly move forward. The state delegation decided not to take them forward as well. In fact, one of the things that was said was in 2017, the HOPE Act was passed. I think it was called the HOPE Act, dealing with opioids. And it was a great piece of legislation and helps out. But the fact is, opioid-related deaths in Maryland for the first half of 2018, comes to 1,185. That's a 15% increase over the same period of the prior year. That's the latest information I could find on opioid deaths in Maryland. But that indicates to me that obviously we don't have a handle on this yet. So we need as many different tools in the toolbox as we can have to try to solve this thing. So when I'm told by our state delegation that number one, I was told this, who's going to take this up? I would feel foolish moving this forward. We just did this. It doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. And the pieces of legislation I wanted to move forward which again, I tried to move forward last year, and none of them were taken up. One of them was patients that are put on prescribed maintenance drugs to keep them off of opioids or any other type of drug. In other words, patients that are on Suboxone or something, or methadone or something like that, are supposed to get some type of counseling from a certified substance abuse counselor. But the fact is, what's happening is that they go into the doctor's office, or they go into where they get the prescriptions, and they're asked, did you get your counseling? And they say, yes, we did. And they get their prescriptions. Only thing I'm asking for in this legislation is that when a patient goes to their counselor, the counselor gives them a slip of paper, similar to the slip of paper that's given to a school child when they go to the dentist or a doctor and they miss school. They give them a slip, has the doctor's name and all on it. Could be the stamp, you know, with the stamp on it. They give it to the child. The child goes to school. The child's excused. This same type of procedure could be used. You go to the substance abuse counselor. You get a slip from the counselor. It's got the doctor's name on it. It's got a stamp on it. You take it with you to your doctor. The doctor has it and puts it in your file. And then you get your prescription. So there's actual proof that you actually went to counseling. Because until you change the mindset of the people that are drug addicts, then nothing is going to change. These maintenance drugs are keeping them off the opioids and whatever other drug they may be addicted to. And they're doing a great job. But you have to change the mindset because, in my opinion, the maintenance drugs aren't out there to be used for the rest of their lives. So that's one piece of legislation that I tried to move forward. It was not taken up. Another piece I tried to move forward was that after you come out of a rehab facility, if you come out on Tuesday, on Wednesday, your next step starts. So most of the time, it's an intensive outpatient. So if you come out from rehab on Tuesday, on Wednesday, intensive outpatient starts. What happens now, sometimes there's a 7 to 10 day, maybe even longer, gap between those two things. So you're sending the drug addict, the recovering drug addict, back into the same place where he or she was using the drugs before, without any support and all, expecting them to stay off the drugs. What happens most of the time is a relapse. That's all I'm asking for. The next day, just work the timing out a little bit better than it is. And actually, this is one thing that the new, I would call them the drug czar for the state of Maryland, that was just appointed by the governor, is looking at too, is talk about a warm handoff from one to the next so that these people get the help they need right away. So a similar thing was I'm proposing is being proposing at the state level. But our state delegation, again, decided that this was not going to be taken up. I don't see how you can put those people back into the same environment they used drugs in before, expect them to stay clean on their own without any help. I don't understand that mindset. I'm running at the end of my time here. I just think that for the opioid epidemic, we need as many tools as we can possibly have. And to deny any one of these things, the light of day down in Annapolis, is, in my opinion, a mistake. And again, this is my opinion. Obviously, my opinion doesn't carry a lot of weight, but this is my opinion. I had another thing here, which I won't talk about because I don't have time. So until next time, this is Commissioner Dennis Frazier signing off. Have a great week.